You see, but the things that are coming are going to drive God's people into the Word to find out what is their rights in the kingdom and to find out what God has done for them. Because, hey folks, when these things start happening, you know what's going to, what these people are going to wake up and realize it really is the end. It's one thing to say it because it's your doctrine, but it's another thing to say it and really know it. But when these things start happening, the church is going to get a revelation that I can't hold on to this world anymore. It's not going to last. I might as well give up what I can't keep in order to get what I can have forever. You hear what I'm saying? The world, the church is in Egypt. They love the flesh pots. They love the world. But the judgments made them willing to leave. And that's what's going to happen. You see, there's a foundation that God is going to restore. And He can't do it through 99% of the church out there because they don't even know it. He can't restore it through them. They don't believe in the healing power of Jesus Christ. They don't believe in the deliverance. They don't believe in the provision of deliverance from the curse. Read the curse, Deuteronomy 28. Part of it's death. Part of it's your children in bondage. Part of it's, you know, all the curses of sickness are there. You see, everything's there. See? So that they believe in the forgiveness part so they can go to heaven. But they won't live in the world. But you see, God's going to restore this other part of the foundation of the church. And that's what's going to save. If you don't hold on to that foundation, you're going to be sucked away by the storms that's coming. If you don't believe it's your right to be, what does He say? I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him. Who is this son? They that feared the Lord spake one with another. And the Lord hearkened and heard, and a book of remembrance was written. You see, there are some people that are about to share this revelation with one another. This foundation that's not right out front. It's kind of hidden behind a little bit. You know, a lot of the church, they don't respect it. You know, but God's going to reveal this Passover lamb, the Passover of the curse, the Passover of the curse of sin and of death. Most of the church is living under the curse of sin and of death. But God's going to restore the revelation of the Passover to them. And the Jesus in Galatians 3 and 13, who already bore this curse for us, who abolished death, the Bible says. See? So some are going to get this revelation. They're going to hold on to the foundation. And they're going to be preserved through this thing. They're going to be alive and remain until the coming of the Lord. And that's on my site somewhere. You might type in a keyword or something to find out where it is, but it's on there somewhere. It's a very, very good revelation.
Or Psalm 91 will get you there.
Psalm 91, yeah. Might be.
When Mike Sindel was with me, and I was coming over here, and he would come over here a couple of times, and he stopped coming. And then I said, you know, Mike, why not? Why don't you come, Mike? And he said, you'll learn something. He said, well, you know, Bill, I just want a simple faith. And I says, well, Mike, you know what? That's the problem with that is you get what you pray for.
That's exactly right.
What you believe in.
You get what you pray for. Yeah, and it's not saving him. I mean, he's sick. And you don't believe it's his right to be healed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not saving him. Many people, by the way, folks, my people are destroyed, Hosea 4 and 7, for lack of understanding.
When I would talk about something like we're talking about now, the Christians that would come into the salon would say, well, you got to die something.
The old man's got to die.
And everything.
The old man's got to die.
That's right. The old man's got to die.
It's the point of the man to die. And that's
well,
the old man.
If
the dying is not the problem, it's the afterlife.
If it's appointed unto man wants to die, man, if you let the old man die that once, the other man don't have to die.
Amen.
See, only got once. Yeah. Just once. No, just once. So if you don't die, if the old man don't die, you're going to have to die.
Because
you got once. Yeah.
They don't know that. They don't understand what the old man is, David.
No. The old man is the life, the carnal life that we live in this world. The mind of the flesh.
It's just this.
Which is born of flesh is flesh, what's born of spirit is spirit.
That's right.
But they don't understand the mind of the flesh is part of the thing not seen.
Yeah.
The actions, the attitude, the understanding.
Well, get into the Word, folks, and find out what's yours. And you know what? We have to stand on our rights as kingdom people. I'm not talking about our rights in this world because we don't have any. We're dead men, right? A dead man don't have rights in the world. Don't demand your rights in this world. Take up your cross. Turn the other cheek. Resist not the evil. You know, like Jesus. He didn't demand his rights when he was before Pilate. You don't demand your rights in the world. Demand your rights in the kingdom. Demand what is yours in the kingdom. Don't let the devil take it from you. It's yours. Jesus already paid the price for you to be delivered from sin and its curse.
Jesus said, if my kingdom was of this world, like he could dispatch 10,000 angels.
Mm-hmm. But he came here to die.
Right.
And he said, we have to take up our cross and die too. The thing is, if we'll die to self, we can be alive and remain until the coming of the Lord. Awesome plan God has. I'm looking forward to it. Any of you have a question?
Where do you want to begin?
Where do I want to begin?
I don't know.
Why don't we begin on the subject?
Wow. I've had so many questions about the subject.
About the subject?
Around it. Okay. I'm just going to have to start from the beginning because that's how it all started. You were talking about in Revelation, somewhere in Revelation 12, I think. How does the man-child, Revelation 12, the Holy One, the Holy of Holies, the throne of God, relate to the inner court and the outer court? Are these types and shadows of mansions to come for the elect? For those tested for another 1,000 years?
That's a lot of questions. It goes on and on.
Do the inner and outer courts have mansions?
We are the mansions. You know, he's going, in the Father's house are many mansions. And I go to prepare a place for you, he said. See, the Father's house. It's not your house. It's the Father's house. It's the house that the Father lives in. There are many mansions in that house. You are one of those mansions. See, Ephesians says that he's putting together a temple that's made up of... I'm going to read it to you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. So then, you are no more strangers and sojourners. You are fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God. Verse 20. Being built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Folks, this is the only way. It's got to be the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. Now watch. In whom each... I'm going to read it to you in the original. Each building fitly framed together. Each building. There's buildings. There's separate abodes being put together into one place. Look. Each several building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God in the Spirit. A habitation of God in the Spirit. So God's putting these many abodes together into one place to build this temple of God. And that's what we are. That's what Jesus went away to build. Why is it that he had to go away to build? Because if he went away, he could come again in the corporate body to build it. He went away in order to come back in a corporate body. So, yeah, the inner court, the outer court, of course, we have a different relationship to the presence of God. And Who was Jesus, the first fruits? He was a high priest. Well, where did the high priest do his ministry in the temple? In the Holy of Holies. He was the only one that could go into the Holy of Holies. And the Melchizedek ministry, folks, it was an order. There was Melchizedek, there was Jesus, and there's the man-child. It's an order. An order is not just two. The order of Melchizedek. The order of Melchizedek was without mother and without father. What does it say about the bride in Psalm 45? And it says she forgot her father's house. And what? And Song of Solomon. You know, they were without mother and without father. Esther. What happened to Esther? Esther was the bride, folks. When her mother and father died, is when the Lord saw her beauty. You see, we're without. When you're born again, you are without. I mean, totally born again. That's the whole point. We're here to be born again, spirit, soul, and body. There are people that only want born again so they can get their toe in the door. That's how much born again they got. You know, born again is being born again from the Word of God, recreating the life of Christ in you. You know what the manifestation of born again is? It's Jesus Christ. That's what born again looks like. And you can have a born again spirit, but if you don't bear fruit as a born again soul, you're not going to enter the kingdom. See, we're here to be born again, spirit, soul, and then body. And there is a high priesthood that's coming down the road who is Jesus Christ, walking in a body that has borne His fruit. He said He was coming as the rain, as the latter rain that waters the earth, right? Okay. So you say, well, it's still Jesus. I agree, it's still Jesus, but it's Jesus in a bigger body. See, that's the whole point. Jesus planned to manifest Himself in His body. And religious Pharisees have been the biggest hindrance to that happening. So just as Jesus came to deliver His people from the Pharisees and give them the truth that sets free, the man-child's coming with the fruit of Jesus living in him with the same ministry and to set the captives free. He opened the prison to them that are bound. The Isaiah 61 anointing that fell upon Christ is going to fall upon the man-child. Because notice, did you notice that Jesus stopped in the middle of that? He didn't finish the whole verse. You know why? Because He's going to fulfill it in the man-child in these days. He's going to finish that. He came as a lamb. He's returning as a lion. He's going to finish it in our day. So, the man-child is the one that enters into the Holy of Holies. There are 30, 60, and 100-fold Christians, right? 100-fold's Holy of Holies. 60's Holy Place. 30's Outer Court. See? You know what the Outer Court is? We are the temple of God. Our Holy of Holies... Okay, this is another parable, okay? I just got through talking about the corporate temple. Now I'm talking about the individual temple. The individual temple is made up of spirit, soul, and body. That's Holy of Holies, Holy Place, and Outer Court. See, we're bearing fruit in those places. Ultimately, in the spirit and in the soul. And then we will bear fruit in the outer court, which is the body. There are people who walk in the flesh in the body of Christ. There are people who walk in the soul. They're soulish. They're psychical. They're naturally minded. See, and they're those who walk in the spirit. They have the mind of the spirit. See, that's the Holy of Holies. And as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. The sons of God, the manifestation of the sons, are those who walk in the Holy of Holies. What did Jesus do when He died? He rent the temple veil from top to bottom so that the way into the Holy of Holies is made plain. Now, the way into the Holy of Holies is perfection. It's maturity. That's what it represents. When you come into maturity, you come into the presence of God in the Holy of Holies. No veil between you. What's the veil represent? Hebrews says the veil is the flesh. When the veil was rent Jesus' flesh died. And what did he do? He entered into the presence of God. When your flesh dies, which is a spiritual thing, not necessarily a physical thing, when your old man, your fleshly ways die, you enter into the presence of God. You begin to walk in the Holy of Holies, in the presence of God Almighty. You see? All that's a parable. It's going to be fulfilled on this earth. It's a good question. I like that. You have another one?
Have another one, huh? Okay. Are we talking about corporate bodies? Do you have any feelings towards the corporate nature of the 144,000?
Any feelings toward it?
Yeah.
Well?
How about the Bible?
It's the corporate body of the man-child. That's who it is. It's the first fruits. It's the people who are going to lead God's people in the coming days.
It's not just 144,000 people. It's a large number of people.
Well, it could be 144,000. I.
Well, 144 is the saints.
144 is a spiritual number in the scriptures. It's the number of the elect. Now, who is it that first manifests their election? It is the first fruits, the man-child. Okay. 144 is the number. In fact, 144 elect, I believe, comes up to 144. So, I don't doubt that the man-child ministry will be 144,000. There's 244,000s in the Bible, by the way. One that comes out of the Jews, and one that comes the remnant of the Jews, and one that is a remnant from out of the Gentile church. Okay, so Revelation 7 is the Jews, and Revelation 14 is the remnant that comes out of the church, the first fruits. Revelation 14 talks about the first fruits. The other group is brought out at the end of the tribulation period. The Jews are brought out at the end of the tribulation period. The Gentiles, man-child, is manifested at the beginning of the tribulation period. Okay, so the body of the 144,000 is the body of the man-child. It's the body of the bride, as opposed to the body of the virgins. I mean, if you've heard the story that the bride is the whole church, forget it. It's a lie. It's not true. Read Esther. Read Song of Solomon. Read Psalm 45. It doesn't fit with anything in the scriptures. The virgins are the bridesmaids. They're not the bride. It fits with the Jewish history of the marriage feast. The going to the groom's home, the marriage supper, and so on. It fits. I don't know why some people teach that the ten virgins are the bride. That's not true. They're the bridesmaids. The bride and the groom comes by and picks up the bridesmaids and goes to the groom's home. To the groom's home, where the marriage supper is. See? So, the body of the 144,000 is the same as the bride. The body of the man-child is the first fruits. I don't know what else you're asking there, but do you have another question?
Okay. Wow. Yeah, we got tons.
Oh, yeah?
This was something, I don't know exactly what you said that prompted this question. But it says, am I to understand that if I cannot be healed, it is because of my unbelief? And that means that I don't believe in the true gospel? It has nothing to do with the drink you were reading.
Well, let's just take Jesus at his word. He said, all things whatsoever you ask in prayer believing, you shall receive. What does all things whatsoever leave out? And what was the only condition there? Belief. Okay. Jesus said, be it unto you according to your faith. Well, that kind of lets us know that Jesus is always willing to heal us. If you don't know that, you haven't read the Gospels, because everyone that was a child of God that came to Him by faith got healed. So, if He said, be it unto you according to your faith, and as you have believed, so shall it be unto you, and all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive, and these signs shall accompany them that believe, and lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. It sounds to me like the condition is faith. I will say this, though. You can't have much faith if you're walking under condemnation because of willful sin. It's not that the promise is not there. It's just that if your heart condemneth not, we have boldness towards God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him. Because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. So, obedience helps you to receive because it takes condemnation out of your heart. See? So, I mean, Jesus already healed you. The Bible says, by His stripes you were healed. He already healed you. It's not a matter of Him saying yes or no. It's beyond that. That's a moot point. He already healed you at the cross. The only thing left is for you to believe. The Bible says the works were finished from the foundation of the world. It only remains for us to enter into those through faith. Yes, you must believe or you will not be healed. And if you don't hold on to your faith, the devil will steal it from you. So there's a lot of people that get very offended when you point out to them the same thing Jesus said, which is if you believe, you will be healed. Now, we have to learn how to believe. We really do have to have our minds renewed with the Word of God. We have to learn how to believe. We have to train ourselves to believe only what the Bible says, or we won't receive it. Yeah, Kurt?
I was just thinking that you've got to let that faith come out of your mouth and out of your actions.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to walk. You got to walk it instead of just, you know, just thinking in your mind. Faith has to be proven.
Yes.
You know?
If you really believe it, you will speak it out of your mouth. It will be in your feet. You will act upon it. Even before you see it, you will act upon it. Kind of like the 10 lepers when Jesus said, go show yourselves to the priests. Go prove you're healed. And they got healed as they walked that way. A lot of people say they believe because they acknowledge it with their mind. But you know what? They don't even believe enough to act upon it, to speak it, to say that they're healed, to claim it. They don't act that. You know, faith without works is dead. It's incomplete in itself. If you're not willing to act upon it, it's not going to be manifested. Many people say they believe, but then all of their actions prove otherwise. They believe that they were healed, but they're running to the doctor, running to the drugs, trying to heal themselves. They won't rest. They won't cease. They won't accept the free gift by faith. They're continually trying to do what God says He's already done, which is proof that they don't believe. Yes, the truth is, if a person doesn't receive, then they're not believing. I'm not saying that you're going to get an answer instantaneously, because there's what the Bible calls a trial of your faith. Even after you start believing, you may have a trial of your faith in which you see just the opposite of what you're believing for. But the trial of your faith is to make you stable so that you're not moved by what you see, feel, or hear in this world. You're moved only by what the Word says. You act on what the Word says. We have to train ourselves to do battle with the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation. We are saved. Our mind should know that, the helmet of salvation. We should quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one that tells you you're not going to be healed. You're not healed. Look at yourself, you know. That's the devil. We don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. And if you walk by faith, you will receive healing. It's just as sure as salvation. Psalm 103 and verse 3. He forgives all of our iniquities and heals all of our diseases. It's the Word of God. He heals all of our diseases. If you think it's something that God can't do, or you're not willing to confess that He has done, then you're not going to receive it. There are multitudes of people out there that don't believe enough to act upon it. Faith without works is dead. If you believe that you were healed at the cross, then walk that way, act that way, talk that way. Thank God that it's done. See? Be anxious for nothing. Just let your prayers and requests be known unto God with thanksgiving. What is thanksgiving for? Because you, like Jesus said, when you pray, all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Can you believe that you have received this healing that you need? If you can, you will have it. That's the Word of God. I've been doing it for over 30 years. It works every time. It works every, Psalm 103, who forgiveth all our iniquities and heals all of our diseases. Now, how many iniquities can you go to heaven with? None. You know what? Healing is just as sure as salvation. It's a part of salvation. It's salvation for your body. Mm-hmm.
I have a prayer request. Brother just came online. His mother, her name is Susan, got into a head-on car wreck. She broke her face, her jaw, her right arm, in four places, both her legs and hips. She cut her spleen, and now the doctor says she may be losing her mind. She doesn't remember anything. They think she is going crazy. So I ask you all to pray for my mother. Pray that she will get well and not go crazy and be here to help raise her 13 children. Please pray for her. The more prayer we can get, the better off she'll be.
What's her name?
Susan.
Susan, okay. Now, she's your mother. We can use your faith. Why do I say that? Because in the Bible, Jesus healed Peter's mother. Never say anything about his mother's faith. Jesus healed the centurion's servant. Didn't have anything to do with the servant. It had to do with the centurion's faith. Jesus healed the Syrophoenician woman's daughter. The daughter wasn't there. The mother was believing. See, the ruler of the synagogue's daughter, Jesus healed. But the daughter wasn't there. Jairus was there. Now, you're coming here for us to pray for your mom, Susan. Okay. What we need to do is use your faith, like Jesus used the faith of the centurion, the faith of Peter, the faith of Jairus, the faith of the Syrophoenician woman. We need to use your faith to heal her. You see why it's so important to have your mind renewed with the Word of God and learn to do what Jesus said. Jesus said, all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believe that you received. Literally it says received, past tense, in the Hebrew. Receive them and you shall have them. Why? Because it happened at the cross. It's already been paid for at the cross. You received them there, you see. Susan was healed there. Is Susan a Christian? Your mom a Christian?
I just asked that. He said yes.
Oh, great, great. Well, she has a right to healing. And especially if you will believe for it, we will. It's called healing by proxy. You have the faith. We will use your faith. We will pray for her, and she will be healed. You understand? So let's everyone here listening, let's put our faith together for who is this now that we're praying?
His nickname is Chris or Wahoo, and we're praying for his mother Susan.
Okay.
Has 13 children. He says they're all Christians.
Okay. Let's pray for her to be totally healed. Okay? I can't even remember all those things you said she had wrong. So
her jaw's broken, both her arms and legs and hips are broken, and she's losing her mind.
Okay. So let's pray right now. We agree together, Lord. You said in Matthew 18:18-19, and when two of us agree as touching anything, it shall be done by our Father in heaven. So we're more than two here, and we agree with Wahoo or Chris or whoever that is. We agree with you in the name of Jesus Christ that your mother, Susan, is healed. We command those bones to be knit back together. We command healing in her body, her flesh that's been so battered and bruised and torn. We command that body to be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. We break the power of Satan to take away her mind in the name of Jesus Christ. We command her mind to be restored in the name of Jesus Christ. We break the power of Satan to destroy her. Father, we thank you, Lord, for restoring this lady for the glory of God. We command her to be restored. And what we bind on earth is bound in heaven. And what we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. We take the authority that you gave us, Lord Jesus, over all the power of the enemy. And Satan, we break your power over Susan in the name of Jesus. Spirits of infirmity, we break your power over her. In Jesus' name. She is restored, she is healed, and she is blessed. And we agree that it's done for the glory of God. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. We just praise you for it, Lord. You said, be anxious for nothing. That must mean you have control over all things. Be anxious for nothing. Just let your prayers and requests be known unto God with thanksgivings. So, Lord, we're just going to thank you that Susan's healed, restored, and blessed. We're not paying any attention to any doctor that says otherwise because they walk by sight and not by faith. We're not going to pay attention to any report of any relatives that's contrary to what we've just prayed because, Lord, your word says when you pray, believe you have received, and you shall have it. So we're not accepting any bad reports. We're accepting only the good report of the gospel, the good news that by the stripes of Jesus, Susan was healed. Lord, we receive this miracle for your glory. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
It's almost like you could just see that. Reconstruction of the
faith. That's right. That's what you got to see. You got to see that in your mind. Accept it in your imagination that it's done in Jesus' name. She is restored. And everywhere you go, you tell everybody she's restored. You tell everybody. My mom was in the hospital a few years ago. I had three doctors tell me she's in a coma. She hadn't been getting any oxygen. She's gone. You just, well, let her go. I said, my wife and I prayed when we were going to the hospital. We said, Lord, we just ask you to let her hang around a little bit longer and say, have some fellowship with all our children. And so when we went in there, we prayed that prayer of faith that she would be healed. And sure enough, she was on this oxygen machine that was beeping all the time because there wasn't any oxygen in her bloodstream and so on and so forth. And I had two doctors tell me that she's not going to make it. One of them was my older sister, who's a very gifted physician in the world, you know. And she told me, David, she's just not going to make it. I told both of them, I said, look, she's going to make it. Because we prayed, and the Bible says, when you pray, believe you have received. I said, she's going to make it. You know what? She came out of that hospital pretty quickly. And all the drugs that she was on when she went in there, she wasn't on any of them when she came out. She was walking better, she was talking better, she was functioning better, she was having fellowship with people better. She was just 100%. Everybody looked at her and thought and saw a miracle. Everybody. You know what caused that? What caused that is God's faith in me and my wife praying for her and believing. If it hadn't been for that, she'd be dead.
How long did she live?
She lived for a long time after that. Long time after that. And when she did die, we just let her go because she was finished. Yeah. But at that time, we didn't feel to do that. See, what we bind on earth is bound in heaven. What we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. She had some more to do. But you know what? The doctors told me she's going to die, and I told them, no, she's not. And they looked at me like I'm crazy. You know, the doctors don't have the last word. They walk by sight and not by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. If you pay attention to them, they will destroy you. So wasn't Jesus the great physician? No, he wasn't. He wasn't a physician no kind of way. That's not even in the Bible. The word is healer. He was the great healer. Iatros, it means healer. Physician is a modern term that they stuck on now. A physician is one who practices medicine. Pharmakia is the word. Pharmakia. Healing through the use of drugs. You know what it's translated as in the New Testament? Sorcery or witchcraft, depending upon which Bible you have. That's right. It's healing outside the methods of God. It's attempting to go around the curse which demands repentance and faith. See, God is the one that appointed the curse in Deuteronomy 28. He appointed it in order to bring people to repentance and faith. But what mankind said is, we don't need repentance and faith. We got doctors. We got drugs. You know what he called it? Rebellion. Sorcery. You don't see Jesus using any drugs. You didn't see none of the apostles using any drugs. They spoke the word of faith. You know, you can go speak over your mama and just speak healing to her. You didn't even need us to do that. You could just speak healing to her. Because you have the authority to do that. And believe what you say. Mark 11 and 23. A person with faith can speak to a mountain and not doubt in their heart that what they say will come to pass, and it will happen. See, faith has that power. Because it's not faith in us, it's faith in Jesus Christ, right? It's faith in the promises of God, right?
Like you said before, if you really believe what you're saying, how would you act?
How would you act? What would you say? If you really believed you have received and that your mom is healed, how would you act? What would you say? Go and do likewise. That's what you have to do right there.
That's what Jesus told the people he cleansed of leprosy. You know, go and show yourself to the priest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, why would they go if... I mean, they didn't see it happen right away. They had to go.
Yeah, see, they were fulfilling the law. The law says if a leper is healed, he can take with him a turtle dove and go to the priest and he'll inspect him and make sure he is healed.
Yeah.
And they'll sacrifice the dove.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll be accepted back into the camp.
Yep.
That was according to the law. Well, they went while they still looked leprous. So if you walk out your faith, see, faith of that, see, reason a lot of people don't receive anything is because they don't have complete faith. Faith without works is incomplete.
Dead.
You don't have faith, you don't have real faith, you don't have faith that saves until you got faith that you can act upon. That's what works right there. So just thank God she's healed. Just, you know, tell everybody she's healed. I prayed. Just to, you know, well, she don't look here. That's okay. I prayed, and the Lord said, when you pray, believe you have received, and you shall have it. It's okay. She's healed. He said, and the devil's going to come to you and say, you're going to look awful stupid if she dies, or she, or this happens, or that. Yeah, but that's the devil and all his ifs, you know. There's no ifs in what Jesus said. There wasn't one if there. All things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believe it, you shall receive. Is there any if there? Not a one.
He says, it means a lot to me that y'all prayed for her. Because God's Word says, if there are more than one person that believes, someone will be okay.
Mm-hmm.
He will stand in the midst of them. I know she will be fine with all of your help. Thank you so very much.
Well, he just confessed that out of his mouth right there, didn't he?
That's good. That's good.
I believe
she see, the thing is, we don't have to convince God to heal anybody. The Bible says He already did it. All we've got to do is give God the faith and believe that He did it. Because faith is the substance of the thing hoped for. See, faith calls the things that be not as though they were. What's a thing that be not? Well, if you looked at your mom, you'd say, well, she be not healed. That's one thing. Yeah. But faith calls the things that be not as though they were. What? Why is it were? Because it happened at the cross, you see. See? So, you just thank God for it. Your faith... Jesus said to one person, he said, your faith has made you whole. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? You have good cheer. Your faith has made you whole. Well, I thought it was Jesus that did it. Well, but Jesus was always willing to bring healing. And so the only real condition left is your faith.
He fused you a broken... Was it a broken arm that he fused back together? Restored?
I've been healed of many things. Cancer and glaucoma and broken arms. And my children have too. God's faithful. He's faithful to that word. And the thing is, we have to be faithful to the word. Most of God's people are praying and praying and praying, trying to convince God to do something for them, and He's already done it. He's already delivered you from the whole curse. He's already healed your body. He already delivered you from sin. There ain't a problem that you've got. It wasn't accomplished at the cross. So stop trying to convince Him. It's not necessary. It's a waste of your breath and your energy. Just accept what the promise says. You know, that's what you got to do. Accept what the promise says.
God healed me of a heart attack because of prayer.
That's right.
I can't imagine God sending His only begotten Son down to earth to die all over again.
Well, He died for naught for a lot of people. And he took those stripes on His body for naught for a lot of people because they ignore Him and go to man instead of accepting what He's done. Our faith has to be in the sacrifice, what the Lord has done for us, you know.
Yeah, I look at this guy and think about how blessed he is. He's 21 years old. Or that's what his screen name indicates, that he's 21. He's a young man. To have faith to come looking for help through Christ, which has been done, knowing... I mean, if I had known growing up and was able to accept the Lord at such a young age, I'm thinking, where would I be now?
Right.
I mean, 21 years was quite a while ago, 12 years ago.
Mm-hmm. A lot of us.
Well, just for me, I mean, just saying, could you imagine? Knowing what you know now, that you had at 21?
Let me say this. Every one of us, folks, have got trials like this coming down the road. You better start getting prepared for them now by renewing your mind, finding out what your rights are in the Word of God. So that when these trials come, you'll be ready and the Lord can use you. You see. I'm so glad that when I was a baby Christian, I picked up that book and started reading and reading and reading by His grace. I started reading that Word. And lots of trials came my way. And I got to see the miracles of God. Because I was convinced, not by what religion had told me, but by what the Word, I saw in the Word. And I learned the principles of faith. And they brought me a lot of victory, a lot of deliverance. Raised up 5 children without doctors and medicine and those kind of things. And God was faithful the whole time. So, right now, before the really bad days come, before plagues start rolling across this land, because they will. There will be loosed all kinds of biologicals on America. They will poison the water. They will poison the food. Ultimately, nuclear weapons will be used and fallout will be all over America. Things like, diseases, all of the old diseases are coming back because the drugs are failing to have any effect upon them. All the old diseases and worse ones, the avian flu that they say is probably going to become pandemic.
Tuberculosis is coming back.
They're all coming back. Penicillin is giving out.
That on the radio.
All they've done by using penicillin is breed stronger and stronger germs. Mm-hmm. You see, and now they're afraid because they don't have anything on the horizon to take its place. That's what God prepared for these people that thought they'd outsmarted the curse. There is no way out of the curse except God's way, and that is repentance and faith. God designed it that way. So, get in the Word, know your rights, start standing on them, and know that you have authority over all the power of the enemy given to you by what Jesus did. Adam was given authority over all the works of God's hands. And that promise was given to Jesus in Psalm 8. It was taken away from Adam because he gave it to the devil. His servants, you are whom you obey. He obeyed the devil. He lost the dominion that God gave him over everything on this earth. Jesus was the last Adam. He was tempted by the devil too. But he didn't fail. So he passed on that dominion to his children like Adam should have done. We are those children. We have dominion over the works of God's hands. That's what the Bible says. See, Hebrews chapter 2, Psalm chapter 8, read it. Find out who you are. You are sons of God. You have authority over this earth. You have authority over the curse. You see. Have another question.
What if someone wants to speak? I said they're a friend of yours, and I don't really know their name, but...
Okay.
We'll see what this is.
Okay, sure.
The first time.
Yeah, Brother Jim, this is David from Washington State, and I've never met you personally, but we've been in correspondence through the phone over the last year. This is my first time on here. I hope I know what I'm doing from a technical point of view. Can you hear me? Well, praise God. I just wanted to, this has been such a blessing to me to hear all of you, and especially the hidden manna that God has given to our brother David. The Lord has promised in Daniel, in the book of Daniel, the vision was sealed up until the time of the end. We know that Jehovah God, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord our God, is moving from glory to glory, and in the time of the end, which we are fast approaching, we know that His purposes in the earth are going to be established on earth as it is in heaven. I know that at this point in time, there's probably a lot of confusion in certain brothers and sisters' minds concerning the religious system. I heard that being brought up several times during the discussion. You know, the problem is that the word of the Lord declares that the whole earth is truly groaning and travailing for the manifest sons of God to come forth. They are those that Daniel prophesied that who were of the Mishkel, those who are of the understanding, who help lead the many to righteousness in the time of the end. The word of the Lord declares in Revelation 7, there's a great multitude in verse 9 that were called, and many are called, and few are chosen. But yet there is a great multitude in Revelation 7, verse 9. But I don't believe that they are the true sons of God, but they are a result of those who are the Mishkel that will help lead the many to righteousness. The problem in this hour is that Satan has captured the city of religion for one purpose, and that is to stop the true sons of God from being manifested in the earth. And I know with all of my heart that, you know, in the book of Ezekiel, it talks about the false thresholds and the false posts that have been set up in the name of the Lord. Many have truly come in the name of the Lord and have misrepresented the Lord. And the Lord says they've committed many abominations in my holy name. And the Lord tells Ezekiel, son of man, it's time to show the house the house. So this is a real blessing. I've lived here in Linden, Washington, for 11 years. I kind of, people ask me, where do you live? And I say, religious Babylon. It's got more churches per square mile than any place in the United States. It's in the World's Book of Guinness Records. And the Lord brought me here to bear faithful and true testimony, to be a faithful and true witness that there's a living God in the earth.
And there's literally church.
3 years ago, the Lord came to me in a dream and spoke these words to me. He said, this gospel of the kingdom must be preached, and then the end will come, as the word of the Lord has declared. And he said, this gospel of the kingdom is your light. You're a living epistle. You're a living stone that I have shaped and formed into my image, into my likeness. The problem is in this hour with the false thresholds and the false hosts, the many who have come in the name of the Lord and have deceived many. The Apostle Paul told us in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 that it's no great thing for Satan himself to transform his ministers into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works, for their works were not truly wrought in God, in spirit and in truth. And, you know, I truly bear witness that, you know, the church is the New Jerusalem, spiritual Zion, whom no man wanted to go through. It says that in Isaiah 60, this is the city of our Lord, the great city in the sides of the north, of our great King. She's a royal crown. She's a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. The Lord wants all of us to understand that we are to let no man take our crown. We're to hold fast that which we know is the truth, which is truly in Christ Jesus. You know, I pretty much have been alone out here. My wife and I have come out of her in Revelation 18, the false religious system, over 14 years ago. It's been a very lonely, lonely, and a long walk. And the Lord has truly allowed us to be tried by fire. And in measure, we have bought of the Lord gold tried in the fire, and we have embraced the cross. And there is a price to pay. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said that we would be hated, despised, and rejected of all men for His name's sake. So, I just wanted to share a couple of these things. I have not felt real spiritual over the last few years. I've kind of been desolate and alone. And I really don't. I really don't have any friends. It's just a blessing to hear the voice of the Lord and the truth of what the Lord is about to do in the earth. And and I just praise you. Praise the Lord for you. And I've shared on many occasions with Brother Deese some of the things that we've had to go through. But I do bear witness with what Brother David had declared about the judgments that are about to come. For the Lord, over the last 23 years, has numerous times taken me in the Spirit and showed me the destruction of the United States. I have seen chemical and biological attacks upon the U.S. soil, upon the U.S. citizens. I have seen foreign troops being parachuted out of troop carriers in different, especially in the part of the country that I'm in northern Washington. I've seen, personally, five cities in the United States destroyed by thermonuclear weapons. And the Lord told me it was going to happen sooner than anybody could think. So, God bless you all. And I love you. And Brother David, it's good to hear your voice. It's been quite some while. I finally got this thing figured out. A friend helped me to do this because I'm not very smart on a computer. So, please forgive me. Lord bless you all.
Well, thank you, David. Now you have some friends, right? Praise God. Lord bless you. We appreciate that. Good word. Good word. And I hope you come back and join us again. Now, God bless you.
Yes. Yeah, David, we're here on Wednesdays and Sunday nights. And there's email. We can get you email addresses, too, if you want to just talk with somebody.
Well, I think he's talked with me before.
Well, I'm talking about those other people out there.
Yeah. Amen. Yes, amen. God bless you. Does anybody else have a question?
Oh, we have tons of questions still.
Well, let's try a few more before we sign off here.
This one should be a quick one. We were talking about the disciples not having the Holy Spirit. And someone said, I thought that the Spirit was upon them, but didn't did not dwell in them until Jesus sent the Spirit after his death. Is this correct or wrong? They're talking about the disciples not having the Holy Spirit.
Yes, there is an article on my site. It's in the streaming audio Bible studies. It's called Saved and Then Filled. Saved and Then Filled. And what I do is point out place after place after place where people did not have the Holy Spirit after they were saved and then received the Holy Spirit. The truth is that it's the Holy Spirit whom the world cannot receive. The lost people cannot receive the Holy Spirit. You have to be born again first to receive the Holy Spirit. And the disciples in the book of, in the Gospels, like you said, the Holy Spirit is with you, He shall be in you. They did have a born-again spirit because the Bible, Jesus said to them, you who have followed me in the regeneration, which is the words new birth, Genesis, panim, new birth. They were born again, but they had not received the Holy Spirit yet. And they received that in the book of Acts. There were places in the book of Acts where people, you know, like Acts 19, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And then they prayed for them and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Philip went and preached, they had repented and were baptized, but they hadn't received the Holy Spirit. He sent for the apostles from Jerusalem who came down and prayed for them, for as yet they had not received the Holy Spirit. They believed, they were baptized, but they had not received the Holy Spirit. And the apostles came down and prayed for them. Many cases in the Scripture. First of all, born again is not the Holy Spirit. The born again is your spirit. The Holy Spirit don't need to be born again. The thing is, according to the promise in Ezekiel chapter 36, I will put a new spirit within them and I will put my spirit within them. When you have a born again spirit, then you are the temple of God. Then you can dedicate the temple and the Holy Spirit, the Shekinah glory, will come to dwell in the temple. The Bible says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, most of the church out there has not received the Holy Spirit. When you get the Holy Spirit, you get the Holy Spirit the same way they did in the book of Acts, with the same results. The Holy Spirit comes with power. That's what Jesus said. Power to be witnesses of Him. What does that mean? It means you are going to walk as He walked. People are going to look at you and say, there's a Christian. Because he's Christ-like. Because he does the works of Christ. Because he heals the sick. He casts out devils. So on and so forth. The Holy Spirit comes to empower us to walk as He walked. To be witnesses. Not to witness. It said to be witnesses. We are witnesses. A person who is filled with the Holy Spirit can do what Christ did. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. These signs shall accompany them that believe. See? In the book of Acts, the most common sign of receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit was to speak in tongues. By far. There's one place, you know, where Philip preached, where it doesn't say that they spoke in tongues, but Simon was willing to pay to receive the gift. They all saw something or heard something when they received it. Everywhere else, the Bible specifically says they spoke in tongues. So, the thing is, if you don't want the Holy Spirit with the gifts, then don't bother asking, because the Holy Spirit comes to give gifts to empower us to walk in the steps of Jesus Christ. The overwhelming majority of the church rejects the Holy Spirit, just like the Jews did. They're walking in the steps of apostate Judaism. Apostate Christianity will walk in the steps of apostate Judaism. They will reject the full gospel, like the Jews did. They will blaspheme the Holy Spirit and His works, like the Jews did. History just repeats, you see. Now, the overwhelming majority of Christianity walks according to their mind, their senses, their carnal mind is what rules them, not the Holy Spirit. And if they receive the Holy Spirit, they will have discernment into the spirit realm, power to do the works of Jesus. So, since I've gone through that pretty thoroughly in that other article, go to the Streaming Audio Bible Studies, Saved and Then Filled, I think is the name of that article. And it gives you many examples of what I'm saying there. Out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, that they that believed on him were to receive. But the Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. They were believers. They were true believers. The disciples were true believers. But they had not received the Holy Spirit. And it's still the same today. You can be a believer, but not yet have received the Holy Spirit. But if you believe, Jesus said in Mark 16 and 15, that these signs will accompany them that believe. They'll speak with new tongues. Did you understand that? If you believe, you can speak with new tongues. The Holy Spirit will speak through you in a heavenly language according to the will of God, which is powerful. Don't believe anything you heard in the church that don't speak in tongues. Don't believe a thing you heard about tongues, because they don't know nothing about tongues. They ain't got the gift, they don't know anything about it. The Bible says it's a gift of the Holy Spirit. He don't give bad gifts. It's a good gift. Powerful gift. The Bible says, building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So let the Holy Spirit pray through you according to the will of God. You don't know how to pray according to the will of God. That's what Romans 8 says. That's why you need a helper, a paraclete, to speak for you. So let Him speak. The Bible says, by the way, that the tongue can turn about the whole ship like a rudder. Let the Holy Spirit speak through your tongue. And it will definitely turn your ship. Have another question?
Yeah. Just keep adding.
That's the way it generally works.
Okay, we're talking about the man-child. It says the rest of the man-child could refer to the women being nourished for a time, times, and a half time. The body that brings forth the man-child is waiting to come to the fullness and stature of the man-child. That's how I understand what you're saying. Is this accurate? I'm talking about the woman in the wilderness. So.
Well, the woman who brings forth the man-child represents the church, the real church, the true church. There's a lot of what's called the church out there that's not the church at all, because they're not really born of the Father. But the true church, who brings forth the man-child. Then the man-child turns and teaches the woman in the wilderness for the first 3.5 years. Prepares that woman to go into the second 3.5 years, where she's going to face the beast and the harlot and great tribulation. Okay? But He's empowering her, like Jesus, who breathed on the disciples and said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." The man-child will pour out the latter rain this time upon the disciples to prepare them to face the beast and the harlot in the second 3.5 years. Some of those people will be martyrs, but they will receive power to be martyrs. And others will be alive and remain until the coming of the Lord. They will receive power to do that. So, I'm not sure anything else that you might have asked me there. I'm not sure.
Okay. So, why will there be people turning to the Word and yet also a famine of the Word in the days to come, in the end days?
Well, in Jesus' day, which is a type of our day, there was both a famine of the Word and other people that were feasting on the Word. See, God took the Word away from the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He dried them up. It's happening to people even today, folks. Some of them are drying up. Some of these churches don't have anything to feed. People are starving to death. The ones that stick around there are sticking around because of religion and because of the other gimmicks that are being shared. They're not because they're seeking the Lord. So there is a famine of the Word in the land today. But also, there's a feast among those that have eyes to see and ears to hear. There was a great revival going on in Jesus' day at the same time that there was a great falling away going on. See, the people of God, who were the Jews, many of them were falling away from the Lord. God was reprobating them because they were speaking against the works of God. And He was reprobating them. He was taking away any desire that they had to serve God and turning them back to the world. And yet, at the same time, there was a great revival going on, a feast, if you will, among the disciples of Jesus Christ. That's the way it's going to be in these coming times. A feast and a famine at the same time. Anything else?
Lots.
You may have to save some of this for another day now.
Well, Moses come back during the end times? I know you had Moses and Elijah.
Not literal Moses, no. You know, in Jesus' day, John the Baptist came in the spirit of Elijah, but he also said that Elijah indeed cometh. So we know that John the Baptist wasn't Elijah. He just came with that anointing, you know. But in the coming days, it's going to be the same way. Except this time, God's talking about a large corporate body of people that are the two witnesses. You see, Jesus was the man-child. And Jesus sent out two witnesses in their tribulation. It was the disciples. They went out two by two. They were a corporate body of two witnesses. Now in these days, there's also coming a corporate body of two witnesses. Read on my site the article called The Two Witnesses. Read it. You'll be shocked. All the proof that I give that this is not two men over in Jerusalem. It's not at all any of that. It's not none of those things. The truth is, the Holy Spirit revealed to me what the two witnesses are. And you read that article, you'll be shocked. First thing it'll do is blow out all the garbage that you've heard from people that don't know and haven't heard from God. So read that. You know what? We better save some of this. It's getting late now. We better save some of this for later. Well, look, folks, let me say to you, go listen to some of those streaming audios on my site. There's some of them on the end time and some of them are just on teaching, you know. And enjoy listening to them. You'll get a lot of answers there, I can tell you right now, that'll have a lot more verses behind them than we can give in just a few minutes. I suggest you study them. I mean, the Lord's been speaking to me word of knowledge and wisdom for over 30 years, and it's helped. It's helped me, and it's helped a lot of others. So I encourage you to go there and listen to those streaming audios especially, or read the teachings. Hidden Manna for the End Times has articles about the man-child. None of it's finished. It's kind of in a rough state. The Two Witnesses is really pretty well finished. The Son of Perdition is pretty well finished. There's a lot of articles in there about the man-child and about the woman and those things. About the spiritual catching up to the throne. You can read about it there. And come back and join us again. You know, we'll be here Sunday. The Lord is moving us towards having on Sunday, I believe, a radio program, an hour radio program. And so y'all pray for us about that. The Lord leads us in the right direction, but we know we're going that way. In fact, Saturday, I'm going to be on the Edge broadcast. Some of y'all know Daniel Ott on the Edge. Well, I'm going to be on that broadcast Saturday. And but we're thinking about having a program on Sunday. It'll be an hour program. And let me say this too, folks. I appreciate I appreciate you asking your questions during our meeting here, because some people send me their questions email, and believe me, there are days that I answer email all day long, which is not what I can do. It's not what I need to do. I need to work on this book, to finish this book. I need to get prepared for this radio programs that were our own radio program that we're doing, and I got 3 tours coming up that I got to get prepared for. So I got lots to do.
Do you know what radio channel and what frequency these radio programs are on?
No, we haven't put that together yet. The Edge, you can just do a search on Google. You come up with Daniel Ott, OTT, The Edge. I have it on my computer, but I don't know what the address is. But just do Google, what is it?
The Edge Radio or something like that. www.google.com?
Yeah, www.google.com. And put The Edge or Daniel Ott, and it will bring it up.
Joanne says, thank you for the prayer she said.
Amen. Amen. Praise be God. Okay, well, let's pray. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your great love towards us and sending Jesus Christ to give us his life. And now, we don't live anymore. He lives in us by faith in you. We accept your good news, Lord, that Jesus is coming in flesh to be manifested in this world in our very lives. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for the fruit of Jesus Christ, the gift of the fruit of Jesus Christ that you gave to us. We thank you to go with, Lord, all of our brethren out there, Lord, and let them walk in the power and the life of Jesus Christ. Let them speak his words. Let them have his love and his fruit. Let them have his name in their foreheads. Lord, we thank you for it. And we ask that you continue to give us your wisdom and your direction. We ask that you grant us repentance by your grace, Lord, because we all need to turn from our old ways and submit to you. Go through the fire to burn up the wood, hay, and the stubble of our life. We thank you, Lord. And we bless our brethren in Jesus' name. Good night, brethren. God bless you.